Doom Patrol, Negative Man, Elastigirl, Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Calder. Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello and welcome to Waiting for Doom. It's the Doom Patrol podcast where we talk about the Doom Patrol and people listen, we hope.
We hope. After 3 weeks, we hope so, yeah. Yes, hello, I'm Mike. You can find me on Twitter at avantgarve. You can reach us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com or on the Waiting for Doom Facebook page. You can also check out mygreatestadventure80.blogspot.com, which is run by a friend of the show and fellow Doom bro, Doug Zavisha. And all our episodes are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and podbean.com.
And I'm the Paul. You can find me on Twitter at reading_hicks. And occasionally I'm on this show. So, yay, I'm back. And if you want to get in touch with our sentient Twitter account, which is called Wilfred, he's at WFDPod. And we are sponsored by Comicosity, which is an awesome site for comic stuff with comic things and comics pictures and articles and reviews and previews and stuff.
That's right. They are full of, as we like to say, the comic love. And as they say on their site, comicosity.com, if you leave here loving comics just a little more than when you arrived, we've done our job. And that sums them up perfectly. They're a great site for, as Paul said, news, reviews, previews, interviews, columns, you know, podcasts like this one. So yeah, check them out at comicosity.com.
Pews.
Yes.
I thought we're doing things that rhyme with reviews.
Right. Okay. Snooze. Oh, God, I need a rest.
Booze.
Speaking of news, Paul, how have you been for the past 3 weeks? What's been going on, dude?
Oh, I've had a life. It was my 25th wedding anniversary, which was lots of fun. We got some people together and family and had a special time, but mostly it was just about me and my lovely wife, Sam, and, you know, how amazing it is to be married for that long.
Excellent.
And
congratulations once again.
Thank you. Thank you. I owe it all to her not leaving me. But yeah, we had a lovely time. But apart from that, what have I been doing? I've done lots of it. I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Ooh, how was it?
I think it's a mixed bag.
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyway, it's really, I mean, it's not out for a while, so in the rest of the world, so I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
Okay.
But comedy way up,
right.
Weirdness way up,
right?
Plot down somewhat.
Ooh,
yeah. Okay. So it could be a divisive film.
Ooh.
Like I could see people totally loving it, and other people going, "What is this?"
Right.
Something in between there.
Okay.
It could be the Scott Pilgrim of Marvel movies.
Wow. Okay. That's a bit out there. I know that the James Gunn has announced that he's going to do a third one. Does the second one sort of leave it like set up for a third one, or does it just sort of end as a thing?
There are things that bubble along in both the movies which are still not sort of explored. So
okay.
There is more room, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a story. It's self-contained. It wraps up some stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't really set up too much. It's really jokey.
Right.
And there are 4 end credit bits.
Thank you. That was going to be my next question. How long must one sit through the credits?
You must sit until the film is completely, until it's looping around on the reel at the end.
Right. Until the lights come up and the vacuum cleaners get brought out, yeah.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, I was there opening night, first session, and audience getting up and leaving halfway through the credits. Who are these people? Have they never seen a Marvel film? What is wrong with them?
Yeah. Yeah, well.
It's like, 2 end credit scenes, that's enough for me.
No more, thank you, Marvel.
Yeah, but comic-wise, I have been reading Copra.
Ooh, nice choice.
By Michel Fife. I got his first trade. I ordered it in the mail because I couldn't get the library to buy it. Yeah, I said to the library, why don't you buy a copra? And the library said, why don't you buy it?
Well, in your face.
Yeah, so I did. So, yeah, I very much enjoyed that. That's the best Suicide Squad comic I've read since, like, 1992 or something.
Ooh.
Ooh, so going back a bit. So, yeah, everything done by Michelle. He does the art, the story, the pictures, the words, the balloons.
Mm-hmm.
The colours.
What about the borders? Does he do them too?
He does them too, yeah. Right. He does it all. It's amazing. But it's good stuff.
It is.
Very accomplished. So you're a copra man from way back?
Not from way back. I was gifted the first two volumes when I went to Heroes Con in 2015. And they were a gift from Aaron Myers, which was lovely. And Michelle Fife actually signed them for me, so that was great. So, yeah, I haven't caught up with recent issues though, so I'm a little bit behind. But yeah, it's great stuff. Yeah.
Well, Michelle sent us issue 27, which was his Little Doom Patrol tribute.
True.
And I enjoyed that and thought, yeah, more. I'll get some more. And 2017 rolled around. I thought this is the year of copra for me.
Nice.
So, I'm probably going to order one trade a month or something like that.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. Unless my stocks crash.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, what about you, Mike? What have you been doing?
Not a great deal. A lot of it's work. I have actually read some comics in the past week. I know, right?
Whoa.
I finished the first arc of the Justice League Rebirth series, so I had to go back and reread the first issue, but finished, got up to issue 5 of that, so I'm kind of caught up. Not really. A couple of issues of Paper Girls, which is just bizarre and insane, but still very enjoyable. A couple of issues of Shutter. There was one issue which... I don't care if I spoil this bit because I'm like months behind in my comic reading. There was one issue which was basically just a massive fight scene. And if it didn't kill half of the good guys, it severely wounded them. Like someone got an arm chopped off, someone got exploded. You know, it was basically a very gory and blood-covered issue, which made me swear out loud. So.
Jeff Johns attacking the Titans.
But, this, yeah, this, yeah, sure. Some issues of Captain Marvel, an issue of Descender and Detective Comics. So I'm slowly but surely getting caught up.
Wow.
But I have two to read piles. I have one, which is the ones I can read now because I'm up to date with them. And then there's the other pile, which is I have gaps in the series, so I have to wait till I pick them up before I can get caught up on those.
Right.
So that's good that I can read a bunch of them in a big chunk once I get them, but a little bit frustrating. But, you know, well, there are worse things to happen in the world.
No, so. I thought you were saying that your to-read pile fell over and became a to-read path or something.
Not quite that bad. No, no.
Okay, good.
As for movies, I saw Logan finally. Did I mention that in the last episode? I can't remember. It's been so long.
You and I had a chat about it over breakfast.
That's right. Paul and I caught up for breakfast. Did we take any photos or record it? Nah.
Nah.
Someone
may not have happened.
Someone who shall remain nameless, was a little bit nose out of joint that we didn't record a breakfast episode, but you know, we've got to keep something for ourselves, you know.
Well, I can recreate some of it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, here you go. Where the hell's your coffee?
Yes, I ordered a single coffee and it took forever to get to me.
Yeah, I had an Eggs Benedict in a hot chocolate, and I had eaten it all before he got his coffee.
I think the woman said that they accidentally gave it away to someone else. That's great. Go and get me a new one.
But you did get a very, you know, curt apology, I thought. So
yeah,
that made up for it.
Yeah, sure it did. Yeah. You know, apologies, they fix everything.
Yeah, oh well, you won't eat there
but,
every
but yes, day. I saw Logan with Kylie and the boys, and yeah, I've seen it, so, you know.
It was a film that you saw?
It was indeed a film that I saw.
Yeah. I liked Logan. It worked for me.
But... Yeah, it was fine, but I was kind of just bored throughout the entire thing. And the main takeaway for me was that no matter how special you think you are or you may actually be, you're still going to get older and die. So, you
know. My takeaway was never be friends with Logan. Don't even hang out with him. That was my takeaway.
Which you've kind of been carrying that whole mantra for a while now in real life, haven't you?
Oh, don't get there.
You and Hugh, you know?
Yeah. Former friend Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Oh. There is actually a guy I know who has a mate who is in a musical with Hugh at the moment, and he said that he would mention my name to mention to Hugh, to his mate. So, yeah, I'm sure nothing will come from this.
I would love to hear I would love to hear the reaction, regardless.
Who? It'll be something like that. Who's Paul Hicks? Anyway.
You never know. You never know. Keep us updated. I would love to hear how that went.
If Hugh is on the next episode, you'll know it went very well.
Yes. And yeah, that'll be bizarre and kind of hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, Hugh Jackman's a bit of a jock. Like he's an ex-sport, a PE teacher.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know.
I did see an interview with him on a red carpet somewhere. And the guy interviewing him turned out to be a former student of his.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, you know, he may very well remember you, Paul. You never know.
Yeah, he probably thinks I was an unfit kid. Well, I've changed, Hugh. I'm an unfit man now.
Yeah, in your face, Jackman.
Yeah, still got the same amount of Oscars as you, Jackman. Anyway, this has gone really off the rails.
We're a little bit out of practice, but how about we get back on track?
Okay.
Let's go and have a look at what's going down on Derrington Way.
Okay. So, exciting times on Derrington Way, because this is a new Doom Patrol issue week.
And finally!
You can't get any more down on Derrington Way than that, really, can you?
No.
But, I mean, those fellas, they have been busy. So one of the things that happened in the last week was a Young Animal record got released.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a picture disc, and it comes with a disc with a picture on it, hence the name picture disc. And it comes with a Fabo poster of all the Young Animal characters done by Nick Derrington, all gathered around Danny the Ambulance. And so you've got some, you know, all the comics are represented there, except Bug, perhaps. But Fug is there. Fug is on Mother Panic's flying sled thing.
So that's pretty cool.
It is very cool. I really like this poster, and sad that I will probably never have one. And it came with a picture disc which had the Cave Carson song that was formerly released on the cassette, I believe.
Oh, yes.
And something else on the other thing. But the thing I'm most curious about is there's a comic attached to it or included with it, which is sort of an introduction to Young Animal. It's called the Young Animal Mixtape.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm super curious about that. So we do have, we know a few people who bought one. So Arbud got one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a few other people. So excitement. So that's one thing that happened on Derrington Way.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that happened is we got the rankings of the issues. And I want to talk – we've avoided talking about these directly, but I want to just talk on them because I think Doom Patrol sales are pretty healthy, personally. Yeah. So the first issue, which came out in September, it ranked 19 on the chart of 100. This is according to ICV2, which has sale charts and things.
Mm-hmm.
So estimated sales, 76,000 copies and 225. I bought a few. You bought a few.
Yep.
But so that's the first issue. Multiple covers, five different covers. So 76,000. The second issue, which came out in October, ranked 79th, and it was 37,000. So about a 50% drop in sales.
Jeez. Yeah,
not unusual because the first issue,
True.
All this extra stuff. The third issue came out. It was 30,000 copies. This was in November. 30,140 copies. This is the rough estimate. That's probably a 22% drop from issue two to issue three.
All right.
Yeah, that's less of a drop. Then issue four came out in January, ranked 105 on the list, 26,261 copies. A 12% drop from issue three to four. So it's sort of finding its level.
Okay.
Then issue five came out in March. Now, these are delayed comics, okay? So people might be angry and people might be, you know, throwing their comics across the room and refusing to buy the next one and things like that, maybe. So, but the issue five, it ranked 101 on the list. So it's actually went up a few from the issue four, which was 105, but 24,693. So a 6% drop. So you see, if you map that out, it's leveling off. So Doom Patrol has sort of found its level. So they can pretty reliably say we're going to sell about 24,000 copies. So the, you know, this one, this ends the arc. It'll probably be around maybe 23 in the high 23s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so like a 3% drop on that. So that's pretty good numbers. So, you know, and there's a trade coming. I mean, this is where the young animal bucks really start flowing. Now, in comparison, let's have a look at the chart for what we're doing, March. So at the bottom of the list, you got things like Disney Princess Comics and something called Shadows on the Grave. I don't know what that is.
No.
Reprints of things, Simpsons Comics, things like that, really low. But around Doom Patrol, you've got Deathstroke, Kingpin, Moon Knight, Batgirl, Deadpool and the Mercs for Money.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Gamora, Man-Things below that, things like that. Whereas the next young animal comic, let's flip through the list, singing a song so no one minds. Mother Panic. Okay.
Okay.
14,000 copies, 327. So that's 10,000 less than Doom Patrol.
Wow.
And further down the list, I think Cave Carson is at 190 on the list. So that's 11,558 copies. So that means for every Cave Carson issue someone buys, 2.5 people buy a Doom Patrol issue.
Right.
So if you see half a person in the shop, they're probably there for the Doom Patrol. Shade the Changing Girl is at 10,612. Oh, so, wow. I mean, they're really low.
Yes.
So, yeah, and I wish them no ill. I really want these books to prosper. But, you know, personally, I think everyone who's making these comics is thinking the trade is where these will really soar.
Mm.
So, and just we know that we like having things in trades. You know, trades are forever.
Yes.
Yeah. They're like flowers. They last forever. No, they're not like flowers. Anyway.
Not at all.
Anyway, I have pushed this as far as it goes, I think. So.
Right.
Well, what's that sound of burning?
It's the doom clock crying out for attention. Oh, God, we're so out of practice. So we gaze upon the face of the mighty Doom Clock, and we can see that the last Doom Patrol book we had was today. Issue Woo. 6 of Volume 6 finally came out.
Thank six goodness. Of six.
Yes. Yeah, it's a shame about all the delays, because we should be a little bit further along than Issue 6, but, you know, take the good with the bad.
The rough with the smooth.
Sure. Issue 7 of the Doom Patrol is due, I don't know when.
It's the end of July, I think.
End of July, okay.
Well, 26th of July?
Okay, at this stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, sure. Before today's issue, we last saw the Patrol united as a team a year and 36 weeks ago in two different comics, All-Star Section 8, number 3, and Justice League United, number 12. They're kind of reunited in this one.
I think it's, let's call it.
Let's call it, yeah.
They're it's the whole patrol.
Yep, yep. It is a patrol of a sort. But yes, I think they're back.
Yeah, it's more patrol than things that are less patrol.
Sure. And this week in Doom Patrol history, oh, you're going to love this one. Okay. Going on sale for $2.50 on April 27th of 2005, with a cover date of June of that year, was Doom Patrol number 11 from Volume 4 by John Byrne. Oh, yeah. This issue was titled Bitter Memory, and it showed us more of the origins of Grudge and... No, Nudge and Grunt. I've got the note right here in front of me, and I'm still mucking it up. This issue was titled Bitter Memory and showed us more of the origins of Nudge and Grunt, as well as the beginnings and hints of a rather retconned origin of the Chief, Niles Calder. We haven't covered this issue yet, but we will get there eventually. This isn't one of the ones that you have, is it, Paul?
No.
So, anyone out there who wants to contribute to the Burn For You charity drive for Paul? Issue 11, get in touch.
Please.
It'll make it so much easier once we do get to Volume 4 of The Patrol. Yeah. Yes, that's it for the Doom Clock this week. And speaking of Burn For You, we actually have a short update for this episode. So, Paul, what's been happening in the world of Burn For You?
Well, as you know, we had issue 7 came through from Doug, mm-hmm. Doug Zavisha. So thank you, Doug. I have an update. Paul Heeks contacted me and said that he could get hold of issue 18, which he did.
Hang on, who got in touch with you?
Paul Heeks. Me. I found issue 18 myself.
I thought I was thinking, hang on a minute.
So I'm going to send myself a sweet Doom Patrol postcard.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, and I'm going to send one to Doug.
Excellent.
Now, we realize there's probably not many opportunities for people to get a Doom Patrol postcard, so we're looking at expanding that, and we will think about how you can get one without finding a comic you can't find, because that seems a bit unfair. But, you know, keep looking, people. And I really appreciate the people like Arbard and other people. I should know who the other people are. It sounds a bit disingenuous now. Who have contacted me and said, I've been looking and I can't find them. So
we do appreciate the effort, nonetheless.
We do. Yes. We absolutely do.
Paul especially appreciates it.
Yeah, I'm the victim here. I just want you to know that.
How are you the victim?
Well, I get the blame. No, I don't know. Maybe I'm not the victim.
Oh, dear. Any other news for Burn For You before we move on?
So we need issues 4 to 6
and then
8 to 17.
Right.
That's all. That's all. 18, technically 18 last issue, that should have the lowest print run because it was least popular. Most people had given up by that point. So that's a good one to get.
Yes, anyway, so finally let's ends.
Get on with this show.
The end of the world is approaching. Soon the planet will be engulfed in a nuclear Armageddon. And the only people that can prevent this from happening are considered to be the greatest villains of all time. The only thing standing in their way is the Justice League. In 2005.
Wait a second. Are we sure about that date this time?
Yeah, it's 2005. We're sure this time.
Let's just be perfectly clear. I hate all of you so much.
Okay, good. Got that. All right.
In 2005, DC Comics began publishing a 12-issue bi-monthly comic called Justice. Written by Jim Krueger with art by Alex Ross and Doug Braithwaite, this series was essentially a Super Friends for adults. And now another group of Super Friends has come together to discuss all 12 issues in a podcasting crossover called J.L. May 2017. The excitement begins on the April 30th episode of the Fire and Water podcast and continues into Supermates, the Idlehead of Diabolu podcast, Views from the Long Box, the Pulp to Pixel podcast, the Lantern cast, the Shazam cast, Comic Reflections, the Silver and Gold podcast, the Power of Fishnets, Waiting for Doom, and Justice's First Dawn, J.L. May 2017. Last year, they covered the beginning of the Justice League. This year, they discuss and review the League's toughest battle. The coverage begins on April 30th on the Fire and Water podcast, located at fireandwaterpodcast.com.
And now it's time for Doomsplaining, where we talk about something Doom Patrol. And today, the something is Doom Patrol, Volume 6, Issue 6, which concludes the Brick by Brick arc. Now, this one, it's got art by Nick Darrington. It's written by Jared Way. It has inks by Nick Darrington, but I believe Tom Fowler helped, because this is according to Jared's blog.
Right.
Gerard's blog. Am I saying it wrong? Gerard.
Say it however you would normally say it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's exciting. And it didn't have a backup piece, which it was meant to have one by Sean Crystal, but it did have another one of those Bane's colouring corners.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't put it.
Connect the dots to send Bane soaring.
And it looks like the Bane from the Batman and Robin movie, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Mm.
It's good that he mixes up the Banes.
Yes.
Oh, dear. You're so Bane. Probably think this song is about you. Anyway. So this issue of Doom Patrol, it's called... It doesn't really have a title, does it? It says Brick by Brick. But anyway, let's get into it. So we probably ought to do a recap just to say how we got here for people.
Mm.
So, because it's been five issues, this is the sixth one. So, anyway, previously in the Doom Patrol, Casey Brink drives the ambulance for Sam the EMT. After being radio called to incidents, they collect Robot Man Cliff Steele and Negative Man Larry Trainer before Casey discovers that the ambulance is really a world-generating transvestite being called Danny. Not only that, but Casey is also a fictional hero that Danny created. Danny has been attacked by a bunch of intergalactic assholes called the Vectra, who are making fast food out of the people he creates to inhabit his inner world called Dannyland. Casey and Ricardo, a guy who knew Danny when he was just a cabana, free the ambulance and travel back in time to rescue all the people from the past, Danny the Ambulance, before they got mulched into patties. But the tortured Danny lost the plot and created baddies, Torminox, Casey's fictional father, who gave in to an evil virus, and Doodlebug, the villainous version of Casey. Danny creates Casey's mom, Gloria, to calm her dad, but Doodlebug shoots Gloria, who says farewell to Casey before a light consumes both her and Torminox. Plus, what is up with Crazy Jane and her cult and that bomb?
Oy.
So the issue starts, and Casey looks at the smoking pile of pink that was once her parents, stunned. Behind her, the self-destruct in the past version of Danny the Ambulance activates, and he explodes into a mass of burning and squirming protoplasmic flesh. Casey and Cliff look at the oozing destruction. "We gotta go," says Cliff. Grabbing the woozy waking Larry, they pile everyone into Dannyland via the battered version of Danny the Ambulance from the future. The feeble, staticky radio voice of Danny tells Casey she must go faster than the timeline to prevent their destruction of the past Danny from taking the future Danny too. Casey hits the gas and the Dambulance erupts out of the Vector's mobile slaughter unit X-19. Heading to Earth, Danny urges Casey to go faster, but they are suddenly sideswiped by the plain white synthetic copy of the Dambulance driven by a deranged and desperate Doodlebug. As the two ambulances twirl around each other racing towards Earth, we see the destruction of the past Danny triggering the destruction of the Vector on the mobile slaughter unit. The light of annihilation grows and consumes everyone. Cliff, Larry, and the survivors in Dannyland. Doodlebug in her faked ambulance, and Casey behind the wheel of the real one. The light fades and reveals a desert. Casey is lying on the ground. Danny is crashed bonnet first nearby. She can't believe they're alive. Cliff, Larry, Fug, Ricardo, Sam, and Flex all emerge from Danny. They are outside a compound surrounded by a chain link fence. A simple sign reads, Janestown, Church of the Multiform. Sam tells them, I know this place. I don't know if I'm ready for this. Cliff gives him little choice as he opens the sliding gate. I'm going in, he says, as Flex finishes righting the crashed ambulance. Inside, Jane, who we know as Crazy Jane from Volume 2 of the Doom Patrol, is hovering cross-legged in the air, addressing her flock. Everyone is wearing tracksuits, which is not a good sign. They have given up their families, the jobs, their money to become the 63 identities that join with the true identity to become 64. Jane has transformed them into thinkers, scientists, and engineers in order to develop Grandma, the gene bomb that they will use to gain all of Jane's powers. Outside, we see the bomb being loaded into a waiting plane. All her followers say her name, Jane, 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 till Cliff adds his astonished, Jane? Jumping jack wagons. I've been looking all over for you. Well, not actively for a minute, but I've been looking, a lot going on with that whole Danny being in ambulance and the whole Shucky Darn meat fiasco. Jane is cross. How did you get in here? Sign outside tipped me off. Your gate's not very secure. Then a couple of guys with machine guns came out who weren't very friendly, but I explained to them I was a pal of yours, and when that didn't work, I just banged their heads together. But don't worry, they aren't dead. Jane is very stern, says, our business is no business of yours. I'm not even sure we've ever met before, though you do seem to know who I am. Then Cliff looks land and says, wait a minute, is this a cult? Are you leading a cult, Jane? With a great big wham, she activates a force bubble that blows him backwards and says, I am the multi-mother, the all-Jane. If you don't leave this instant of your own free will, then I will make you. Cliff's stunned. Jane, what's going on? What's happened to you? You are not wanted here, she yells. Your useless individuality is everything we've tried to get away from. Take your fractured forms and leave right now. Both of them are silent suddenly by Larry, tapping his fingers on their foreheads. Cliff awakens in the underground, Jane's internal representation of her multiple personalities. A new map is on the wall where every station on the network is labeled Dr. H. A train pulls into the deserted station and a Jane yanks Cliff into the carriage. Up in the real world, Casey keeps the agitated cultists back while Larry explains that he's made a mental circuit to connect Jane's and Cliff's minds. And if the circuit is broken suddenly, they could get a really bad case of brain death. As the crowd closes in, Sam steps up ready to defend his friends. A woman in the crowd says, Sam, this is the same cult that his wife Valerie left him and their son Lucius for. Sam tells Valerie how much they've missed her, that he and Lucius need her. Valerie calmly explains that it's not possible because the gene bomb will be dropped on them any minute and will give them all a great gift. Sam urgently radios Ricardo and Flex outside in the ambulance, telling them about the bomb. In the underground, Cliff apologizes for not finding Jane, but Jane warns him of the coming danger. Jane says that she's reconciled to the fact of her multiple personalities and she needs her friends to accept it too. But after the murder of that god, when the blue blood splashed on her and it led to the rise of a new personality, Dr. Harrison, she had persuasive powers and dominated the other personalities, obsessed with finding a cure that would get rid of them all. The cure involved dispersing all the personalities into the cultists and destroying them. Jane's personalities have been moving constantly around the underground in trains, trying to avoid Dr. Harrison, who controls every station, unless she captures them and then she interrogates them for information about Jane's friend. Except Jane's personalities have tricked her. The gene bomb is no gene bomb. It'll only destroy Jane's dominant personality, Dr. Harrison.
Uh-oh.
Suddenly, Dr. Harrison finds them in the train and rips the train apart. Cliff wakes at this point just outside as Flex and Ricardo get Danny to start to fly in order to stop the bomb. They soar up into the air and Flex leaps from the ambulance onto the bomb. But the message has been received down below that the bomb needs to go off because the bomb will get rid of the dominant personality. Larry unleashes Negative Man, who soars up into the air and swoops Flex off the bomb, and the bomb goes off in an airburst above the cult compound. All the cultists are suddenly freed from Dr. Harrison's influence, and Jane herself is freed from Dr. Harrison. As everyone staggers around stunned, they're led outside and invited into Danny the Ambulance to find safety in Danny the World. And Sam tells them they can stay there if they want to. As the survivors regroup, Casey thinks to herself that friends help you write the fiction you want to be by looking in your heart and seeing the truth inside. Lonely in a crowded room with the music pulsing, or above the clouds with your jet stream at your back, when the sun comes up and the sirens fade, you pick each other up and you make each other new. You start again. Larry is reacquainted with Jane. Jane, it's nice to see you. It's nice to see you too, Larry. And Casey drives off in the ambulance. And you don't know where you're heading, but together you'll know you'll get there fast. The issue ends with a epilogue, which is Terry Nunn in a boardroom with some businessmen. She tips out a packet of what looks like powder into a bowl. The executives are very excited, and one of them says it's a zero cholesterol, no trans fat, gluten-free, hypoallergenic, vegan, all-natural food additive, and it instantly makes any food you sprinkle it on healthier. And Terry is very excited, and she said, and they make a deal, and she said, great, wait until you hear what it's called.
Mm.
And that's where the issue ends. So, oof. Mike, oof, did this do anything for you?
It almost gave me whiplash. It was, it ran along at a pretty breakneck speed.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that was just the speed at which I actually read it, because due to technical issues, I didn't download it till about 15 minutes before we were due to start.
Wow.
But yeah, there's a heck of a lot going on in this. The one thing that didn't thrill me overly was there was no real conclusion to what went on with the Vectra.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they blew up, but that was kind of it. And then it was kind of like, oh, let's go straight onto the Jane story.
Yeah. It's very strange that, you know, sort of the antagonists of the first, you know, five issues sort of get wiped out in the first four pages of this comic.
Yeah. And I wonder if, for whatever reason, because of the delays with the book, they decided to cut bits out that would have given a bit more closure to what was happening with the Vectra. But for all we know, we'll see them again at some stage, probably.
Hmm.
I'm sure they will seek their revenge on the patrol, and they'll want to get Danny back so they can keep making Danny burgers. The other thing I liked was that some of the nice touches that led back to the very first issue of this run. So, you know, Casey lying in the desert with an ambulance sort of nose first in the ground.
Yeah.
And, you know, a bit of a connection with Jane and Cliff and the grandma bomb. I don't quite get why it's called grandma, but it was nice to finally see that in action, so to speak. It was nice to see the underground again. I was very confused by why they were all called Dr. H until we actually learn about the Dr. Harrison entity within the underground. And how cool was Larry's trick of zapping both Cliff and Jane on the forehead to create a circuit between them? So
that's my second favorite panel of the comic.
That was so cool. He just goes up and goes, "Zock."
Yep.
And they're instantly linked. That was really cool. And kind of unexpected and like a new trick,
yeah,
as far as I can recall. The one thing that did kind of catch my eye at the last moment when Jane is explaining what's been going on to Cliff, and when the Dr. Harrison entity does, you know, crash the train and burst through the roof of it, is that when she reaches out for, I guess, the regular Jane, there appears to be a brick shooting out the back of her head.
Yeah.
And you almost miss it, but it's got the word stop written on the brick as well. So I'm guessing that's some kind of psychic residue or aftershock from when the moment that Harrison was created at witnessing the death of the super god. That we still haven't had any more.
Yeah, there has to be more to that, doesn't there? Yeah. I mean, who used the brick as a weapon?
Mm.
We don't really know that.
No. And we've said this before that, you know, we thought that was going to be the focus of the series, and instead it zigged and zagged all over the place. So we'll get there one day, I'm sure. Not in any great real rush. It was cool to see the Dambulance have the words Doom Patrol appear on the bonnet as well. As, you know, Ricardo's going, "Come on, Danny, I believe in you. You can fly."
Yeah, and it completely renovated Danny. He became new and shiny.
Yes. But yeah, the scene where it's so ridiculous but so awesome, where you've got a plane in the air with its cargo hold open, about to drop a bomb. You've got a flying ambulance being piloted by a former resort island worker with masseuse. Flex Mentallo. Yeah, a former resort island masseuse driving it. And Flex Mentallo, you know, legs akimbo on the roof, leaping for this bomb. And then you've got the Negative being flying up and, you know, he actually knows the truth that the bomb has to go off.
Yeah.
And the way he just sort of collides into Flex with this wham.
Yeah.
It's so absurd, but still so very awesome.
That was my favorite panel of the comic.
Oh, there you go.
Negative Man taking out Flex. But, I mean, a total Doctor Strangelove moment when Flex is on top of the bomb.
Yeah. So, and the final page with Terry in her meeting, it leads me to believe that she was the one wearing the astronaut outfit.
Yes.
And gave this powdered substance to lotion the cat, which triggered his change. So I have a funny feeling that that's going to lead to the return of the Brotherhood of Data.
Yes, we think because Terry Nunn is possibly an agent of the Brotherhood of Data.
Yes, because, you know, their whole credo was that, you know, why live in a normal, boring world when everything can be wacky and wild? And clearly this padded stuff triggers changes that bring on the wacky in the world, such as a Catman.
So, yeah.
But yeah, it's... I'm glad the issue's finally here. It looks great. It reads great. My only complaint would be, the fact that the Vectra are basically completely forgotten about the minute that they're back on Earth.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether... I would love to know if there was stuff chopped and changed and whether that was due to delays that are already... I don't want to say that was the cause of the delays. I'm wondering if it was like, well, you know, we're already behind schedule. We need to cut stuff to give, you know, the final issue of the first arc some sort of closure and condense stuff.
I was actually... I was wondering if the Jane stuff would come into it this issue or whether that was like a subplot feed for the next arc or beyond. Mm. So I was pleasantly surprised to see the Jane stuff come in, but, you know... A little bit surprised to see the Vectra stuff end. But, I mean, when you say that it ties back to the first issue opening page, you think, well, maybe it is meant to be all part of the same arc. Because, you know, in that opening page, we had hints of Cliff in the underground. We had, you know, Jane kissing Cliff's head. Mm-hmm. We had Casey in the desert. So, you know, Jane was obviously intended to be part of that from the very first page. So... Mm. You know, perhaps there was just a bit of shuffling of stuff in between issues or moving to, you know, stuff around or...
Yeah, it almost feels like they've ended two plot lines in the one issue.
Yeah, but I mean, the structure of the story, I think, is unconventional, but there's a lot more tying things up than you get in some parts of the Doom Patrol's history, you know? This is all very neat and tidy by the end of it, really.
Yeah. I guess. It just does feel to me... it happens all so quickly. And
it's a sudden gear shift.
And it
grinds a bit. Is that what you're saying?
It doesn't grind. It's like the vehicle's going at full motion, but we're taking some shortcuts to get there.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because, I would have liked to have seen something a bit more closure with the Vectra storyline, and I could have accepted if Jane's story was the start of the next arc, maybe, even a short arc, because Jane's stuff with, you know, when you realize that Jane is the leader of the cult when we first meet Valerie, I was like, oh wow, okay, that's a whole nother storyline there, and it's pretty much all wrapped up in this issue.
Yeah,
it's. So I'm really glad the issue's finally here. It looks great, reads great. My only fault is that it kind of happened so fast. I would have liked more of the Vectra stuff in this one and maybe more to the Jane storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right, so I have a few questions for you. Do you think we will ever see Torminox or Doodlebug again?
I think we will. I think that they've been used. They've been in it so briefly, and they're so interesting. I mean, there's nothing to say that the Vectra will somehow get back at Danny and try and recreate both Torminox and Doodlebug.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can't. I refuse to believe that all the Vectra are gone. I will hold on to the belief that the Vectra will be out there. They'll be very annoyed that their mobile slaughter base has been blown up. And they are not going to be making any more profit from, you know, Danny Burgers.
You're so right.
I'm thinking that they will want to reclaim their product somehow at some stage.
Right.
And hopefully they'll turn up at the worst possible time. It'd be great if the Patroller are, you know, knee deep in some other horrible situation, and then surprise, the Vectra reappear just to, you know, dogpile on them.
Yeah. Do you think that Sam is a member of the Doom Patrol?
Unofficially, yes. I think I've said before, I think he's going to be like the Joshua Clay of the team.
Okay.
He'll be the team medic.
And Ricardo will be the team masseuse.
And why not?
Yeah, that's my type of team.
Look, if he's got the magic hands that can bring Flex Mentallo back to life,
after
he gets knocked out, why not? You know, he's got Fug's magic goop there on standby. You know,
they're
going to be well resourced. They're going to have a medic and a masseuse. You know,
yeah. How do you feel about Chief not being in this issue?
I'm okay with it because we've only had like one page interlude with him. We did see him in the previous issue when Larry was off in his parallel world. And there was so much other stuff going on in this. It's not the end of the world that he doesn't appear in this issue.
Yeah.
I think Jane had so much info to share with Cliff about what was going on. And yeah, I would have been amazed if they could have fit a Niles page into this one.
Mm.
So I'm kind of glad that they didn't.
Yeah.
What about you? Were you missing Niles this issue?
I wondered if anything would be added to it. I mean, I don't think I miss him, but I think it looks like the next issue may focus on where Niles is. You know, he, like Larry, has these dreams of a life that ends whenever he releases the negative energy.
Yes.
So in the previous issue, you said, "Oh, you won't believe what I dreamed," or something.
Yeah.
Or at the start of this one.
He said, "I just had the weirdest death."
I just had the weirdest. Yes. So, and as we know, the Chief was in his hospital room as he was dying. Mm. So, maybe the Chief is dead. Maybe the Chief is in some other space. Maybe the Chief is just reaching out somehow. Maybe the Chief will not physically join the team, but will, you know, interact with them on some other plane. Perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and from this comic, you get the impression that, you know, everything Doom Patrol has happened in the past. It's all sort of melded in.
Yeah.
You know, we know Gerard has read some stuff. He's, you know, definitely read the Giffen arcs and the original and volume 2 and don't think he's read volume 3 and 4, which are the John Byrne and the Arcudi stuff. Mm-hmm. Not in that order. So interesting, very interesting.
I did like the callback to the history of the gene bomb and the Dominator.
Yes.
Plan. You know, which is, what triggered Jane's superpowers in a way, which was kind of only like briefly mentioned when we first meet her, I think.
Yeah, so in Volume 2 of the Doom Patrol, the Paul Kupperberg run ended with two crossovers with the Invasion, which was a DC-wide event, so very mainstream DC. And in that, an alien dropped a bomb on the Earth to get rid of everyone with superpowers. Instead, it activated lots of dormant superpowers in people, and Jane was one of those people.
Yes.
So the Gene Bomb is a very mainstream DC callback to a big crossover from 1988.
Yes, it was a nice touch. I couldn't... She also made mention of the Myonic Mind War, which I did some quick research. I couldn't find any previous mention of that, so maybe that's going to be shown in a flashback later on. I don't know.
That's just a made-up thing that's happened that we never got to see.
Well.
Yeah. And on the last page, I think that Terry's product is the thing that is called SH*T.
Yes.
Which I think is a big deal in around issue 8 or 9. Anyway, coming up.
Coming up, yeah.
The solicit said everyone is mad for it, and why is everyone eating it?
Yes.
Mm. Mm.
Just a shame we have to wait even longer.
Yeah.
And again, we have no control over the schedule. Those that keep saying it's a plot of ours.
Yeah. So overall, I'm very happy with the opening arc.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say that it's weird for weird's sake. I disagree with that absolutely. I don't think it's weird for weird's sake. I think it's interesting, and there's, you know, they're not just doing strange things because, you know, the things are parts of plots that you don't understand yet, or we don't understand yet. So
think this weirdness is slightly more palatable than previous runs. I mean, let's be honest, some of Morrison's stuff, that was weird for weirdness' sake.
Yeah, well, I did get a bit of eye rolling in the middle of some of Morrison's stuff.
Yeah, and as well, Rachel Pollack's stuff. As much as I love the start of her run, some of the later stuff she delves into, wow, just...
Yeah.
She's trying to out Morrison with some of it.
Yeah, and it's a bit meandering. It's not, yes, you know, focused and has a point.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not to cast aspersions on the rest of the runs from both of those writers. There are still really good high points in both of those. But yeah, I think, I don't know what it is. This weirdness is just more enjoyable. And I think part of that comes down to Casey Brink's character.
Yeah.
She kind of makes it almost easier to accept that, you know, there is this entire world of happiness within an ambulance that...
Mm.
You know, and that's, she's like a creation of this organic ambulance transvestite being.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's down to Casey, and I think Darrington's art as well.
Yeah, isn't it fabulous? And the colours throughout this. Like, I love the warmth once we get to Nevada and the desert and, mm-hmm. you know, the compound and all that stuff in the sky with the bomb and, you know, the little rainbow contrail behind Danny as he flies. Yeah.
The escape from the mobile slaughter unit as well, where Doodlebug and the fake ambulance is crashing into our hero's ambulance. That was so tense. And there's like all these extra panels showing what's going on in different areas at the same time. And that was really well done. And the brightness of the explosion as well. The team they've got on this, I love the work they're doing.
Yeah, and the cover, we see all the Doom Patrol members on there except Chief, really.
Mm.
And we see Lucius, who isn't really a Doom Patrol member at this point. But
no, he's not.
Sam's son, but he's going to be more important as we go on, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you got the alternate cover, which was done by...
Done by Sampler Man.
Sampler Man, which is, yeah, that's taken from old Doom Patrol covers, I think, like... 121 or somewhere around there. But
yeah, the one with the Great Guru.
Yeah, that's right. But it's got the heads of the other characters, which are straight off the Nick Darrington cover for issue 6.
Mm.
Sort of faded in and put in and things like that. So,
and even Terry's there. I'm not quite sure why she's there, but you know.
Well, she's on the main cover as well.
Yeah.
So that's where they got that image from.
I guess. But we just know she's gonna be bad news. We know.
Oh, I hope she's fun as well.
Oh, yeah, she will be. She will be.
Yeah. Righto. Oh, well, shall we say that is doomsplained at this point?
It's pretty much doomsplained, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well done, Darrington, Way, and co. on a very good first arc.
Bond villain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. Jamie Rich, editor. Well done.
Yep. Well done to all of them.
And thank you.
And so we reach the mailbag of doom for this week. And our question for you on our last episode was, which DC villain or villainous team would you like to see the Doom Patrol face? And we heard off, first of all, from Fracknarok, as he's called at the moment, who's at Fractures, and he answered with Ambush Bug. And then there was a bit of a conversation between him and Dr. Pardji, who was at Dr. Pardji, about whether or not that had been done. And yes, Ambush Bug actually does join the Doom Patrol in Volume 5 by Giffen and Clark.
Yeah.
So there you go. Not quite a villain. And then Dr. Pardji also chimed in with his own answer of Floronic Man.
Ah, Barkface.
Right. He was almost going to go for Egg Foo.
Oh.
But then he also went with Snowflame.
So I don't know who Snowflame is.
No, so I think he was trying to do a frack and get in as many answers as he possibly could.
Ah, okay. Yeah. And then we heard from Aaron Long, who said the guy in the... Sorry?
No, I said, we heard from Aaron, yeah.
Yeah. And he said the guy with all the question marks on his suit, Apocalypse.
Right. Thanks, Aaron. Always appreciate the time and effort you put into your answers. We then heard from Jeffrey Brown at Tsujigo. Apologies if I mispronounced that. And he said it would be nice if the Doom Patrol faced the Flash Rogues, Cold, Miramaster, Trickster, Cap Boomerang, and Peekaboo, plus Dr. Harry Wells. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
As long as it's not a traditional sort of story. You can't do a traditional story with the Doom Patrol, really.
No.
Now you can't. You used to be able to once, but now you can't.
No.
We heard from Craig R. McD on Twitter, and he's Craig101. That's what he calls himself. He said, I've always been curious what a Negative Man versus Shadow Thief fight would be like. Could the negative spirit hurt Shadow Thief? Oh, that'd be cool. Mm. I love the Shadow Thief. He's a thief who turns into a shadow and steals things.
Right. Okay, I'm glad his name cleared that up. We heard from FKA Jason at FKA Jason on Twitter, and he replied with, the X-Men. What, they aren't villains? Or DC? I don't care. I'd love to see Wolverine rip Cliff to shreds while the Chief and Professor X crash chairs.
Okay.
Yeah.
We heard from Cash Flag, who's at Reba02 on the Twitter, and he said, Bizarro or Bizarro World. Well, slash Bizarro World, technically.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. Be
very interesting to see.
Yeah.
Clinton at Coffee and Comics blog said JLI era Injustice League.
Ah.
I'm trying to think who would have been in the Injustice League in that era.
They were the goofy losers. So you had Clock King, and you had Major Disaster and Big Sir and Multi-Man. And they were mostly for laughs.
Okay.
Cool. They're a bit sad.
Right.
We heard from Endless Mike, who's at MA Solco, and he said Maxi Zeus and the New Olympians, the terrible trio, could also be fun. Maxi Zeus, the Roman themed Batman villain.
That would be fun, actually.
The terrible trio is just three criminals who wear different masks, so like a fox and a vulture and can't remember what the other one is. Is it a duck? It's not a duck.
Walrus?
No, it's not a walrus. It's a meerkat. Anyway, something.
Right. We heard from Jeffrey Brown again, and he said the Doom Patrol versus Hyper Clan from Morrison's JLA run. I can't remember Hyper Clan. I didn't read a lot of Morrison's JLA stuff.
They were from the opening arc of JLA where people came from space and they were like, we're going to make the world really great. And there was something sus about them, and they turned out to be white Martians.
Okay, I vaguely recall that now.
Yeah.
Okay.
We heard from our pal Nikki, who's at @anti_laser, and he said, Mr. Mitzablick, you know that'd be an incredible issue.
It would.
It would be, yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then over on the Facebook page, we heard from Dean Jones, and he said, really wanted to give a comedy answer or a weird villain, but I like Cheshire, the ninja girl with a grinning Oni mask from Teen Titans.
Ah.
Okay. And then he asked, wait, does Vartox count as a villain? And I'm trying to think, who's Vartox?
Have you seen Zardoz?
No.
Is that
the Sean Connery one?
Yeah.
Right.
Notoriously bad outfit.
Yeah.
Vartox is just a ripoff of Sean Connery's character in Zardoz. Right. So he's an alien who's a little bit sexually harassing.
Right.
And dresses inappropriately. So that guy.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we're all learning so much tonight.
Yeah. We also heard from Big Tim Styles on the Twitter, and he said, Doom Patrol versus Suicide Squad. Well, it sort of happened, sort of.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
Kind of, sort of, yeah, but not full on like everyone now.
No.
But back then it did.
Yeah. Yeah. And then finally we heard from Jared Driscoll, who said Mirror Master.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Mm.
Mirror Dimensions. And...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty, Paul. Which villains would you like to see the Patrol face?
This is tough, Mike. I think I'd like to see them clash with the Fatal Five from the Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's there's a guy who's mad in that with an axe. But he's not mad axe.
He's not? Oh, wow.
No.
Wow, okay.
It's called The Persuader, which is not truth in advertising.
He's not like Shadow Thief.
No, he's not. No.
I
mean, what about you, Mike?
I guess I would want to see them... I was going to almost say Ra's al Ghul and the League of Shadows.
Yeah.
But that might be too dark and serious for the Patrol. But it would still be hell interesting to see them take on all those ninjas and assassins and stuff. So my backup answer is going to be the Joker.
Right.
I think it would be interesting to see them trying to get out of like some death trap filled carnival that the Joker had somehow got them lured into.
Oh.
That would be kind of wacky, I think.
Yeah.
Or almost in the realm of Drake and Premiani wacky.
Yeah, it could be.
Mmm.
Mm. Food for thought.
Mmm. Yes.
Nom, 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 nom. Okay.
Okay. There we go.
Well, I guess that's it for this episode, I'm guessing.
Mmm. Pretty much.
Yeah. Anyway, so... next week on the show, Mike, what are we going to do?
We are going to catch up on some Rachel Pollack stuff.
Onward and onward.
Yes. So we're looking at Doom Patrol Volume 2, Issues 66 and 67.
Oh, I'm actually looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's good to finally get onto to the Pollack run for reals.
So, yeah.
And do we have a question of the week for next week, Paul?
We do, and this is, what comic book character would you most want to have a ride-along with?
I've got one. I mean, we've just seen her in action, but I'll say. She drives our ambulance, but I'll see if I come up with a more interesting answer next week.
Okay, all right. Anyway, if you want to answer that question of the week, we'll be putting it up on Twitter at WFDpod. You can send us an email at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. It's been a while since we got an email.
Yeah.
We have the Facebook page, which is on Facebook, called Waiting for Doom. And there's also Doug's site, which is mygreatestadventure80.blogspot.com. That is always good for a look, even if the new post isn't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, check it all out. And if you want to find out all episodes, if they're not on your feed, then go to podbean.com directly, and I think they're all there.
Yeah, for some reason, episode 71 vanished from the feed. I have no idea why, because on either side of that, they're all there.
Maybe we ran out of it.
Maybe. I don't know. But maybe, there are ones from 70 earlier on there, not 71.
Maybe there weren't many copies of 71 and someone got them all.
Well, maybe, yeah. Low print run.
Yeah. Maybe that's how it works.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, Mike.
It's very late. Let's sign off. Thanks again, Paul. Yep. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
You'll edit out all the silly.
Sure. That's what I do every episode.
Nice.
Catch you all again next time for more Waiting for Doom.
Waiting for Doom.